underway. David Gilruth from the three.
25-30, 35 explodes midfield. A chance to return the opening kickoff for six. He'll take it to the house. 97 yards. David Gilruth, the senior from Minneapolis.
We are thrilled to be joined by the star of that moment, David Gilruth, one of the greatest plays, honestly, in Wisconsin Badgers football history, authored by David Gilruth. And David, thanks for hopping on and joining us again. And also, happy anniversary. It was 15 years ago tonight that that play happened. Were you aware of that?
I was made aware yesterday by a colleague, a peer of mine, who told me about the tweet from JJ.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yes.
Seen that? I guess he gave me a nice shout out, and I was like, you know what? It has been 15 years. It hasn't felt like it because, you know, Badger Nation has continued to remind me over the years, and, you know, that it was a nice moment, a great moment in our history, and I feel really grateful for, you know, for our community with that. So it's, you know, it hasn't felt like 15 years, and I don't feel like I'm what, I guess I'm 36, so you know, it was, I felt like a teenager at the time, during that time, right? It was during your formative years, right? But it's been a good time since then. I've had a great time since that return.
David, I mean, that is just electric to get to hear that on the broadcast, to start off a game too. I mean, just walk us through those moments of what it was like to hear that roar. What do you recall as soon as you crossed that end zone? What was the first thought?
I remember just the entire team jumping on me, right? Like I just remember like people that weren't on the kickoff team, the kickoff return team, you know, like John Clay and where the Scott Tolzien, they were in the end zone. I'm like, what's going on? And they were jumping on me. It was a great time. But during the return, honestly, I remember the return, but I don't remember hearing anything outside of silence and just thinking, you know, I got to outrun some guys. And it was a good time. And, you know, but moments leading up to that return were all great with the college game day and the sky cameras and things. It was just a great moment and something that I could have never imagined as you grow up as a kid and picture yourself being in those moments, but I could have never actually imagined that happening.
It's funny, I remember being in the press box and they had a TV up there and they were testing out the 4K and they were just kind of working on that technology and like they were showing it off in the press box of like trying to work towards it. David, obviously I covered that team and I saw you that I was in the press box that day and that team was one of the best the Badgers have ever had. What was the vibe of the team, confidence level and mentality level before that game started? Because that was your opportunity to announce your presence with authority to a national audience. And obviously you seized the moment, but what was the team's vibe going into that?
Yeah, we had a good team. We had a great team that year. And, you know, we knew we had played Ohio State tough in past years, right? We played them at Ohio State the year before, and we felt like we wouldn't say the better team, but we played better that day. We just turned the ball over a few more times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think they returned a kick. I think it was Ray Small that returned a kick. And then the year before that, my sophomore year, we had them down seven with maybe, you know, two or three minutes left, and Terrell Pryor had his, you know, outgoing party, or, you know, it was just, and I think it was Benny Wells had a touchdown. We had a loaded team then too, and we thought we played them well and should have beat them. Freshman year as well, we played them tough down at Ohio State when they were number one. So we had confidence that we could beat Ohio State and compete, right? If we played well and, you know, we stuck to our assignments and we didn't turn the ball over, right? Things that you do to beat a number one team, convert third downs and don't let up a lot of big plays. And I think we did that day, that night. But we had a lot of confidence. We had a good team. I know we had a bad spring practice once that spring, and Paul Chris had brought us in and said, you know, you guys have potential to be a great football team, and you know you're not showing on a daily basis. So we knew we had something special. So it was just putting it together, and I think we played a pretty full ball, you know, complete ball game with the three phases with special teams, you know, defense and offense with not turning the ball. I think we maybe had one turnover, but we converted our third downs. We didn't let up a lot of big plays. I don't that I remember. We actually didn't really have a lot of big plays, right? It was just you know, nickel and diamond down yep. the field, convert on third downs, and not turn the ball over, which can keep you in ball games.
David, I know it's apples and oranges with what's ahead this weekend for this team, but still, just the momentum that a win like that, taking down number one in your house, like what type of momentum did that give you guys that, you know, if a miracle happens here at Camp Randall this weekend, either way, the type of momentum a win like that gives you guys as you move forward in the season?
Yeah, I mean, it gives you tremendous momentum, right? I mean, it gives you some bragging rights. You can recruit a lot better, right? It generates some revenue. It's a lot of different things that can happen. But, you know, it's hard to be the number one team, but it's not impossible, right? The number one team doesn't usually stay that way all season because somebody beats them at some point. Somebody upsets them. And I don't see why we can't do it. It's been a couple of times, I believe, that we've beaten Ohio State. We've been underdogs, and I'm guessing we've probably been underdogs each time we beat them. So this isn't you know, anything that's out of the ordinary. It's just we need to go out there and execute this week. And it's a tough feat, right? This is one of the tougher Ohio State teams I've seen in a long time, especially coming off a national championship year. And it's tough, right? But again, it's still football. That's why they play the game. If you convert on third downs, you don't turn the ball over. You don't beat yourselves. You have a chance to compete and win the ball game.
David, with your time at Wisconsin, you never were a part of a team struggling like this. It's a different guy at the helm, Luke Fickell. It's not a former Badger. Paul Chryst isn't around. The program looks lost at moments. They lost 37-0 to Iowa. From afar, like, what is your view on Wisconsin, like what these kids are going through, what the coach is going through, but then also like trying to look like Badger football again, I think, is the first step.
Yeah, you know, I think that they were trying to reinvent the identity, you know, reinvent the wheel, it seemed like, about a couple years ago, I think, with the relaunch and the air raid and different things like that. And that can happen, right? That's as you start to innovate and you see different things come into play, like the NIL and the transfer portal, you want to keep up with the times. But maybe that didn't work for us. And we don't know yet if it works or not, but it's you try to infuse a different system and a different, you know, a different coach, and different things happen like that. And again, I think it's time, you know, trial and error. You know, it's a different. He's not a Wisconsin guy, right? So he's trying to figure out how to recruit here. He's trying to figure out how to get along with the donor base and just different things that comes along with being a head coach. Now coming into a time when the walk-on, you know, tradition is not the same as it was when, you know, Barry Alvarez, Paul Chryst, or Coach Bielema were, you know, at the helm. And he's trying to navigate a few different things. You know, I got empathy for Luke in this because I think he's a good coach. He's proven that he's been able to do it at a high level. It's just now, how do you come in and implement your system and actually have time to do that, right? It's you need to win now rather than developing talent over 4 years and having 4 or 5 years to do that, right? So it's just tough. You know, I empathize with him. But you don't have the grace to. They don't have the grace period they had 10 years ago, 6 years ago. So it's tough.
David, so Barry Alvarez talked a little bit about this too, and really Luke Fickell is mentioned, and some of the players as well, in terms of finding that identity, almost a lost identity right now. They're still trying to find that. But Barry Alvarez did say earlier on this week on the Barry Alvarez show is that. That is an off-season thing. That's a two-a-day thing. That is a group coming together. How did you guys, as a unit, during the off-season, even during the season too, whenever you faced adversity, how did you guys make sure that you stuck to your identity, you saw what your identity was in terms of that process?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned earlier about not going through that type of season that we're going through now. We actually didn't, you know, we didn't have a really good season my sophomore year. That would be 08.
Was that the 7-6 season?
Yeah. I think maybe 7. Yep. You know, so we weren't, you know, up to standard, right? We won 6 games. We got to a, you know, bowl game. We got blown out by Florida State, right? And mm-hmm. it was a tough year. We didn't know, I think, I wouldn't say we lost our identity, but we were trying to figure out our quarterback situation. Coach Bielema was still coming into his own, right? Like getting his full recruiting class in the door and, again, finding that quarterback situation. And that's when we found Scott Tolzien in that offseason, right? He was a third string quarterback and ended up being the starter. And obviously the rest is history. But we leaned a lot on our leaders that had seen success prior years. I remember OB, O'Brien Schofield stepping up in that offseason. J.J. Watt came around. Garrett Graham was in there. You see the leaders, you know, that started to step up and hold us accountable during those offseason trainings. during two-a-days, which we had two-a-days at that time. I don't think they have them exactly the same way now. So you have less prep time and different things like that, right? But we had I think we leaned heavily on our leaders. Again, Coach Chris had stepped up to us in that in one of those off seasons and said, "You got a great team in front of you." And I believe we actually had a better team in 2009 than we had in 2010, the year we won the Big Ten championship. I think the year before we had a better team because we did have a Brian Schofield, we had Garrett Graham, along with obviously Lance Kendrick and those guys. Yeah. We had a healthy Chris Borland. We did add James White, I believe, that next year, but we had a loaded squad that junior year. And again, that's coming off of the 7-6 year. We then end up winning 10 games, beating Miami in the Champs Bowl. And I just think to answer your question, we relied heavily on leadership that had seen success the previous years, and we trusted that. We trusted the process with Coach Chris, Coach Bielema, Coach Dave Dorn, and obviously the support staff.
David, you mentioned before of Fickell not being a Wisconsin guy and trying to learn that culture. You're from Minnesota. You came to Wisconsin. Take us back to your recruitment. What was drawing you to Wisconsin when you were a high school kid and you said, "I want to go play there," whether it was the football identity, the coaching staff, the players? Like, tell us kind of what brought you to Wisconsin from Minnesota, because I'm sure plenty of schools were after you.
Yeah, I was actually committed to Minnesota for a good period of time under Glenn Mason, and they had a solid program for years, right? They weren't blowing any teams out the water, right? But they'd win 7, 8, 9 games a year. They were consistent. They had a run game. I thought I could come in and as any high school recruit and change the program, right? like any high school recruit, right? Yeah. But as I matured a bit in the process, I actually got a chance to see Wisconsin. I came to campus the year they played Penn State and Joe Paterno had broke his leg on the sideline. Yeah. That was my recruit.
Oh, really? Visit.
Yeah, Drake Levin.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, he broke his leg on the sideline, and then he was in the booth, I guess, the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. So this was, I think, Drake Levin crashed into him.
Yeah.
On the sideline. And so that would have been, 06, maybe 05?
Yeah.
But I came recruiting visit to Camp Randall. I had never seen anything like that. And so coming from Minnesota where you see the Metrodome and maybe 40,000-50,000 scattered, it's loud, it's nice, it's a great atmosphere, but it wasn't Camp Randall, and it was unbelievable. And then Wisconsin had beat Arkansas in the Capital One Bowl. They were the number 6 team in the country, and it was just, the program was great. And I came around the culture was, it was a winning culture, and I thought I had seen a winning culture until I seen that. And so it was nice to be a part of that. And it was a pretty easy decision after that. How can I come in and make an impact? Maybe not change the program like again, high school kids think they can do, but how do I come in and make an impact, develop, and then potentially hopefully get to the NFL? Because I have leaders in front of me. I have a blueprint that I can go after. And Wisconsin was one of the best decisions I ever made in my life. I just told somebody that the other day, was, thinking back now at 36, where I'm at right now, and it's one of the best decisions I ever made in my life. And I got a chance to put this helmet up in my office just a second ago, but I tried to put a couple of things I got. It led to my my degree and my master's degree, and I would encourage any kid to go out there and explore Wisconsin, because it could offer some tremendous opportunities for you. I'm 15 years removed from the kickoff return. It still affects my life, right? So I would encourage that.
Love to hear it. David, last one for me. Our namesake, the jump around. We got to ask you, your favorite memory, whether it was the first, whether you were a recruit, or your last one, any favorite jump around moment that you could share with us that just, if you think about it today, it gives you chills. What's David Gillereath's best jump around memory?
Probably my first and my last, right? That first one against Washington State, I believe freshman year, Washington State we played, it was ABC, it was finally get on the field, and seeing that from that perspective was unbelievable. But that last one, we had just beaten Northwestern to clinch the Big Ten title. We were going to the Rose Bowl, and we're all jumping around the field, and it was unbelievable, right? And it was your last one, so I think those are memories that I'll never forget, that time. And I remember being in the crowd during my recruiting visits and different things like that, but you just don't forget that moment when your first game, and then, I mean, it's an opportunity that I hope kids at Wisconsin today get that chance at some point, can experience that last jump around clinching a Big Ten title to go to the Rose Bowl, right? It's something that I couldn't have, again, imagined. And I'll remember forever.
David, before we let you go, two things. One, who do you still kind of stay in contact with from your Badger days, and what are you up to?
Yeah, I mean, I have a group chat with all our receiver groups, right? Like Nick Toon, yeah, and Jared Abadaris and Richard Kirtley, and guys are all in my receiver room. Louis Nzegu, I'm really close with. Okay. I mean, Badger guys that are, you know, just Badgers in general. Derek Steinbach's over in administration. He was a track guy. And as far as what I'm doing, you know, I've had a long, fun journey, and I would say unique journey since Wisconsin. Currently I'm at Notre Dame High School, a private school here on the peninsula in the Bay Area. I'm the director of advancement here, to oversee endowments, capital campaigns, and annual funds. So I'm the money guy. I'm raising the money for them. Yeah. It's helping people alleviate with their tax problems here in the Bay Area. So it's pretty fun. Really unique opportunity where my daughter's actually at the preschool right here on campus. So that was one of the big decision makers in my life at this moment. So she's four, so that's a big part of my life. She just came back to Wisconsin last weekend for a wedding. So I was there in and out 16 hours. previously, I was at Cal Berkeley doing the same thing, right? It was fundraising in their athletic department. And then Wisconsin, previous to that, I was working with Chad Kimmel. You may know him in administration with Derek Steinbach. You all make it know guys like Chris McIntosh, you know, DeMarcus Sedberry, and, you know, who was the Mitchell Pinta, right? And then it starts to trickle down that hierarchy. There was me and Derek and Chad, and that's what I'm doing. I love to travel a lot. I've seen Badgers everywhere, literally everywhere I go. And that's always fun. Me and my wife, we always kind of one up each other. She went to UCLA, I went to Wisconsin. Who are we going to see first, right? It's always Wisconsin. Every single time, it doesn't matter where we are, Rome, Istanbul, it could be South America. We see a Badger somewhere. So it's kind of like a cult. I can't classify it as a cult, but it I feel like it is. It is. It's a nice one.
Who would have thought Wisconsin and UCLA Big Ten rivals now?
Unbelievable. Yeah. I was just leaving Wisconsin when that happened. Like that whole transition, you know, Big Ten, and then I get to Cal, and then rumor was, you know, there was rumors swirling that, oh, Cal could be joining the Big Ten along with Washington and Oregon and Stanford. I'm like, oh, nice. And then goes Oregon and in Washington, and I'm like, and USC and UCLA, and I'm like, what about Cal? And we're sitting here like, I didn't think I'd be in a Mountain West conference, right? I signed up to go to Cal because I tried to stay with a program, and but fortunately they ended up going to the ACC. But that was a heck of a transition. And it was cool that the Big Ten transition happens with the West Coast, because I got a chance to go to USC last year to see that game. So that's been pretty nice. And hopefully at some point I get a chance to go back down to the Rose Bowl and see UCLA play Wisconsin, right? So that'd be nice at some point. They get up here. Badgers come to the Bay Area next year, or
I think it might be next year.
It's next year in 2028 and 29 or something like that. I can't remember, but there's a what they call a crossover game or home and home series. So Cal will play at Madison maybe in 2029, I believe, and then I think it's one of those two. Well, you can look it up, but it'd be nice at that point. My daughter would be old enough to go out and enjoy it.
Well, make sure to bring her by. Our tailgate is family friendly, so you can come by our tailgate and say hi to everyone. And David, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to reminisce. And again, one more time, happy anniversary, 15-year anniversary of one of the greatest moments of Badger football history.
I appreciate that. Thanks for keeping it alive. It's only a great tradition because you keep it alive, right? You keep it going, and I appreciate that. And let me know if you ever need anything from me, any more commentary, any more stories. I hope I can keep those going as well.
David, you've always been great. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Jim. Thank you.
All right. This is The Jump Around, a Badger-dedicated show live on the ESPN Madison and the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube streams. For Pablo Iglesias, I'm Jim Rutledge. In primetime, Wollersheim, thanks for watching.